This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
6:02 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn, Ed Norris on vacation in Florida. You know, I just realized yesterday.
What's that?
I can't hear you.
My mic not?
There you go. My mic sounds right.
Check one. Yeah.
I just realized yesterday that Monday's a holiday.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
I realized that somebody said it on Tuesday that we were off on Monday, and I went, oh. Okay.
I did not know that.
Wacky, weird stuff.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yes, so, it is.
Nice to have off on President's Day, I guess. Extended weekend.
Yeah.
I could use something to recharge my batteries. But, like, I feel good today. I mean, honestly, I was going to say this to you. Like, I feel like I've been cheating all week because when I come here, I try to give everything I have when I'm doing this. And I haven't been in the right headspace, and you know that.
Yeah.
You even said something to me yesterday, but... looks like our dog's finally coming home today, and he's going to make a full recovery. Best news that we could have gotten after he got in the trash and ate a bunch of crab shells, and dogs can't digest it, so he had to have multiple surgeries on his stomach.
Can anybody digest crab shells?
I mean, I don't know, but I'm sure there's some animals that can eat that as well. I mean, I guess they'd have to, right? It's things in the ocean.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, it was, you know, my son left the trash out, so he's blaming himself, and... is the best news, man. My eyes were watering, just tears of happiness, like watching him yesterday look like himself. The dog's wagging his tail and you know, biting on my hand like he always does and how he plays. So can't wait to get him home today.
That's good stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff. So you'll be back to, well, I can't say back to normal. I don't remember.
There ain't no normal for me. No, but man, I try to put my, I mean, I've done this before. You've done it as well. Like something going on in your personal life, you try to put it to the side.
Tears of a clown.
I usually have been really good at it, and I've had a couple instances over the past 5 or 10 years. Obviously with Mo and certain situations with home stuff, family members passing, you know, that you try to get your head in the right space, and it just wasn't this week. And now I feel good, and I'm happy.
That's good. I'm happy for you. I know your wife is relieved. Your son is relieved.
And then we got to go pay that bill. Himself.
Yeah, well, there's always that.
That's a big bill,
there's
man.
Always that. You got the pet insurance, though, don't you?
Yeah, but, you know, they try to finagle their way out of certain things because we're the ones that have probably drove up everybody else's pet insurance price because my dog, Ali, has had so many health problems throughout the years.
I got you.
So, like... I could see them trying to ding us here or there. It's like, oh, no, we don't cover that. We don't cover that, too. But they should cover most of it.
Hope so.
Yeah.
Hope so.
And then the other thing I did yesterday is I watched a documentary
on
Old Dirty Bastard.
Oh, really?
What a unusually brilliant, simple-minded human being. So many cool things that I didn't know about him. Ason. You know, and he would talk about how there's two different characters. There's Old Dirty Bastard, and then there's Ason. And he was a womanizer. Like, he'd come home and tell his wife, like, yep, I'm having another baby. Welcome him in. Yep. Oh, here's another one. Because he was just running around. He loved women. But one of my favorite stories they told about him is that they pulled up at this light, and the guy looks over and said he saw the ugliest girl he's ever seen. And Old Dirty Bastard starts, hey, baby, what's going on? Starts flirting with her and gets her phone number. And the guy goes... man, that's the ugliest woman I ever seen. He's like, come on, man. Them ugly girls go hard. But it's just like typical stuff. And there was one other thing that I didn't know. The fantasy, you know, obviously we play our opening song, which that's a Tom Tom Club. And that was sampled for Mariah Carey's Fantasy when he joined it. So the video initially was a clown taking him around the little park or whatever. Right. Well, when ODB, when they did the remix and ODB was in it, he had the clown tied up to the telephone pole. And now ODB's taking you around the park, you know? So just an interesting guy, too.
He's definitely that.
Yeah.
How did he, what was the story about, that was an interesting story, how he got added to that remix, though.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I don't remember. It was very, very cool story, how he got added to it.
They were talking about, because Mariah Carey didn't know what he was going to do, what the lyrics were going to be, what he was going to say. And then as soon as it starts, I mean, it's got to be one of the most iconic, you know, feature pieces that we've seen. Because New York, like as soon as it starts, you get pumped.
Yeah.
And but other rappers were talking about ODB saying that he said it was so interesting because he wasn't like anyone else. Like he would stretch out a word to make it work, or I mean, shimmy, y'all. Like just say gibberish. Well,
me and Mariah go back like babies and pacifiers.
Yeah.
No, they don't. No, no, they don't.
But it, I mean, it was so good to see. I enjoyed watching it. I don't know what platform it's on because I saw it on demand.
Let it all run together. At the world. It does.
Yeah. So, but anyway, it was all in all, I had a little educational piece with the old dirty bastard, and now I'm getting my dog hopefully today.
That's good. That's good.
What about you?
Yesterday, no basketball practice. We don't practice on Wednesdays, religious school. We have things going on in the gym, church wise, on Wednesday. We don't play or practice on Wednesdays. It's funny because
you usually do like film study or something, or
no, we don't do anything on Wednesdays.
Oh, okay.
I just honor the code because now they start letting us do things on Sunday evenings, which they never did before. So,
that's cool.
I ain't gonna fight that battle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You gonna give me some Sunday evenings, and you want me to chill out on Wednesdays,
especially when football season's over too.
Done.
Yeah.
Done. I won't fight. So went up to Conrad's up in Harford County. Just had a couple of drinks. I'm not a fan of the food at Conrad's.
Really?
Mm-mm.
I like, I mean, when you look at, everybody's going to have their preference of where they want to go and what they like to eat. But it is funny, like I moved out of Perry Hall and I went back there. That's where my therapy is when I go every Tuesday. And just seeing all the different restaurants and places that open up. I'm like, they got a Wawa right here now?
Got a Wawa.
What's this place? That's a different wing place?
I'd like to try
that out.
So then came back towards Perry Hall and went to Liberatore's. You know, I love Liberatore's. Had the Cosmo dropped off this little mini flatbread.
Good.
Oh.
Mm.
Oh.
So many good places to eat here, man.
Man, you know, I'm not really a flatbread guy. I want a pizza. I don't want a flatbread. This was good.
Flatbreads are good.
This was good. You know, just a tad bit crispy. Which is how a flatbread should be. Flatbread shouldn't be doughy.
I like doughy.
You like dough? I like doughy pizza.
Okay. I like doughy pizza.
I like flatbread to have a little bit of a crisp to it. Just a tad bit.
I used to argue with my son. I used to be the same way where I wouldn't eat the crust of the pizza when I was a kid. And now it's my favorite part.
The edges?
Look, is that what you called it?
Yeah, I don't like the edges.
So we called it the crust of the pizza. And then my younger son, Dalton, was doing the same. I look over and say, you're wasting it. I just bought damn breadsticks that are the same thing as what you're eating right now. And he'll eat the breadstick, but wouldn't eat the crust of the pizza.
I don't like the edges. I just eat put the edges, throw them down. If there's the dog around, he can have them. She can have them. I ain't eating that new. So, yeah, just an interesting night watching some college basketball. No, Danny Hurley has got to stop.
Oh, he's a piece of work, isn't he?
He's ass, man. You see him taunting the fans on the way out, Creighton fans on the way out?
Yeah, this was
Dude, act like you've been there before. You got two national championships. What are you taunting Creighton for?
That's what he told him. He said, I got two of these. And then he's like, what a...
Yeah.
He's a piece of work, man. And he plays up the villain role.
Stop it. Go talk some Oriole baseball. Got some utility infielders. Where do they fit? We'll examine that at 6:30. But on the other side, first, catchers and pitchers work out today. What are you expecting out of the Felix Bautista this year? Did we get some the return of the dominance? Or will we see some growing pains as he whips back into shape? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.
The Big Bad Update from the Yard. On 105.7 The Fan.
he won't be in a spot where it's like any old spring training. We're going to be careful with him. If he needs extra time, whatever he needs, we're going to be prioritizing that rather than bum rushing him to get him out there. But he's doing very well.
That's Mike Elias, Orioles general manager, on his closer, Felix Bautista. They said they don't want to bum rush him, Jeremy. They're going to give him whatever he needs. Slow walk it. Doesn't matter. They want him ready for Toronto when the season opens up on the 27th.
This is easily the most important addition in the offseason, even though it's somebody that was there but wasn't here all of last year because of injury. And look, I think they should be doing this and bringing along slowly. Make sure you're monitoring everything because he's so important to this team. And, you know, I do have a little bit of concern. That first time he goes out, I think mentally, if you go out and dominate, I think he just locks right back in. But I also think if you go out there and you nibble and you walk somebody, you give up a long ball, that's going to sit with you for a while. And maybe there will be some sort of growing pains with him, but I'm not expecting that at all.
I want that Thursday, March 27th. That is 27th, right? That Thursday. I want him to go out that Thursday, get on the mound, and just absolutely destroy him.
I can't wait for his walkout. I mean, it's just...
Well, it's not going to happen up there.
I know. But, like, when we get back home, starting out in Toronto, right? That's where everything starts. And then coming back home for the home opener, which, I mean, we were so used to, for so many years, having the home opener be the first, you know, your first game.
Close to the president.
Yeah. So, now, obviously, things have changed, and it's fine. I don't mind them opening up on the road. It just makes that much more exciting to get back to that first opening day, because opening day here in Baltimore, and I'm assuming everywhere else, it's an event.
I'm shocked. Two things surprise me. A couple things. Number one, that opening day is on a Thursday. It's normally like a Friday or a Monday, right? Mm-hmm. Opening day is a Thursday. And the fact that the Orioles go straight through, they don't have an off day until that Tuesday afterwards.
Yeah.
So it goes Thursday through Sunday in Toronto, Monday at home, and then the traditional day off after that just in case Monday rains out.
Yeah, they do have a bunch of days off early, but that first stretch, it's not. You know, like, and again, they always have the day after the opening day, usually, in case there's rain on opening day. So they have an easy transition to make. But yeah. I can't wait, man. Like, again, even though there's a lot of people out there who didn't like the offseason the Orioles had and wanted them to spend more money and do more things. And after you see, you know, somebody like Bregman signing with the Red Sox, it's like,
Trafe with 120.
Red Sox are improving, man. I like a lot of the moves they made. We'll have to see if they pan out. But that being said, like, I'm not afraid of them at all.
But bottom line, you're expecting the dominant Felix.
Oh, Bautista. There's no question. Coming back from that injury, like, a lot of us were kind of hopefully saying that we wish he would come back last year for the playoff run. But that was, I mean, that's just something that fans are doing. Oh, he's pitching. Well, there's levels to this. You got to build that arm up to get back to where he was. Right. And just remembering how dominant he was, I could have made a case that he's the best closer in baseball.
You could have made that case.
Yeah. And, I mean, he still has a lot to do.
You could have made that case.
After 1 year.
Yeah. He is just coming into the game. I just remember just him just mowing hitters down, just looking completely dominant. Like, you don't even belong up here. Like, you're playing Major League Baseball, I'm playing at a level higher.
Yeah.
That's what he looked like at times. Serious. I mean, it was so good to see him pitch. And like I told you, when he was a setup guy, I kept telling you guys, that's your closer, man. That's your closer.
No, they traded Lopez.
That was your closer. Don't worry about that guy. He had 110 strikeouts and 61 innings pitched in 2023.
Damn. I mean, that's good. I don't know if you guys know that. It's pretty, pretty, pretty good.
That's just, he gave up 30 hits in 61 innings.
It's dominance, man.
Yes. Yes.
You know that feeling of the starter when he's watching the guy come in and you're looking at Craig Kimbrell last year and you're going, ah, God, that's, oh, no. But now you see Felix Bautista, you might go into the clubhouse and say, all right, we got this one. Let me go see what's going on the television.
Yeah. We were looking for the starter. Where was he? He hit the showers already.
He's home. He took his W and went home.
He ate a W.
But no, man, it's exciting to have him back. And I like understanding what it means to be able to close down the back end. And there's a lot of people that, you know, when we look at the trade deadline, everybody talks about starting pitching, which is true. But there are a lot of teams that go, let's work from the back to the front, meaning Like, let's close down the ninth, eighth, seventh inning. Let's make it a six-inning game for a starter and maybe another reliever. What if we can make it a five-inning game because we have, like, the Dodgers have, I don't know if you guys know this, the Dodgers have five closers in their bullpen. So they can try to make games a four- or five-inning game with their starters, which makes them even scarier.
When Batista went down, was it September he went down of 2023? He missed maybe the last month of the season, am I right? So with that being said, he was 8-2.
Damn.
He pitched in 56 games. He left, what, a good 12 to 15 games out there on the table where he didn't pitch.
Yeah.
All right. ERA 1.48. 61 innings pitched, like we said. 110 strikeouts. The year before, he was just trying to get his groove, Jeremy. He pitched more innings. The year before, he had 65 and two-thirds innings with only 88 strikeouts.
Mm.
So he came back that next year.
Locked in.
Keep in mind, this is a guy that struggled his way through the Orioles minor league system. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like they didn't know he was a closer of the future. He became that guy. He wasn't. He's what, 30 years old. He's not a young guy. He'll be 30 in June.
I mean, look. It feels like, did he find another pitch? Was it something else, that having an out pitch for a strikeout? Which it seems like he's developed. I mean, that stuff's just nasty that he's coming out with.
As a teenager, he was in the Marlins organization. Orioles got him, what, 2016 or something? And it was this regime that looked at him and said, wait, this guy's got some pretty good stuff.
It's the same thing with Yennier Cano with this team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was an afterthought in that trade. You know, like, oh, they got a bullpen piece with the Twins?
If I'm not mistaken, see if my memory is correct. I was with them on the road with the Chicago White Sox when Yennier Cano was discovered. That series,
mm-hmm. He
was discovered. Because we didn't even know how to pronounce his first name.
Yennier.
Yeah. We didn't even know how to pronounce his first name. Who's this guy? Because he came like he was part of that Lopez trade.
Yeah.
But he was like a throw-in.
Well, it's just a bullpen arm. When you looked at his numbers in the minor leagues, you're like, what do they see in him? His ERA is through the roof, and then he comes here and doesn't give up a run for about 4 months.
Yep.
it's kind of crazy. And I think that's another good piece to have, even though, like, no, he's not as dominant as he was that first year getting here, but he still has good stuff and can get ground balls in key situations.
410-583-1057 is the number. Are you pumped a little bit about Orioles baseball this year?
Man, I'm excited. Like I said, I get for this every year. This is the only... Now, it used to be the NBA, and that's no more for me, but baseball, this is the one sport that I grew up with my whole life. This is my only hometown team that I've had. And like I said, now I pull for the Ravens because it's good for business, and I like a lot of all my friends are Ravens fans, but it doesn't have the same feel as the fandom that I have for the Orioles. Like, I live in regular season's one thing, but once we get to the playoffs, if you watch me during a playoff game, you're like, what the hell's wrong with him? Like, I'm locked in.
Right.
So,
are you pumped for the Orioles baseball this year, Joe?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, he sounds fired up.
Yeah, Joe, you never know when Joe's pumped up.
The only person sounds less fired up is Nolan.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
Don't put that on Nolan. I'm more excited than Nolan.
I could tell.
No, Nolan is the best, man. When we were doing the night show together, and it's funny because I'd say to him, hey, man, what do you think of the show? He goes, oh, this is one of the best nights of my life. And I'm like, I can tell. You sound really excited.
One day I asked Nolan, this was like a couple of years ago, we were down to the Pickles. So you want to do a shot? Sure. I said, you don't have to if you don't want to. No, I want to. I said, you sure?
Man.
Yes, I want to.
Nolan's love, his ability to just even keel all the time. I wish I could be like Nolan.
I remember when Ray Lewis called in when I was doing the Big Mo show, and Nolan was telling me, he's like, oh, man, that was so cool. I've never experienced anything like that in my life. This is the best day ever. But he's such a good kid, man. I'm so happy for him. And looking at some of the, seeing him move up and being on having his own spot, working with Vinny and Haney. So, good kid.
Dan Graziano predicts that Brock Purdy will get about $55 million a year. We'll look at that at 7 o'clock. But on the other side, we're sticking with baseball. Where do Mateo and Urias fit in the Orioles lineup? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. 6:32 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. That's wake up music right there, Joe. Well done. Well done. We talked about this yesterday. Jorge Mateo, I'm great when he is a utility player. when you start talking about the future of the Orioles and him being in your lineup every day, or 4 days a week or 5 days a week, I'm not okay with that. If he's subbing in for someone who's injured for a little while, for a couple of weeks, a month, okay, I'm okay with that. But I feel more comfortable. I don't want Urias in my lineup every day, but I feel more comfortable with him in the lineup playing more than I do with Mateo, because I think Mateo has more holes in his swing and in his bat.
I think that's a very fair assessment.
You can find it more.
Yeah, I mean, when you're
looking, I don't want either one of them playing every day, but I have more confidence in Urias doing it.
And understanding that there are still a lot of people that love Jorge Mateo, but how much better is your team when he is your utility infielder?
Yes.
You know, how much better can you be? Plus, he plays the outfield, so mm-hmm. you have options of getting him at bats, which he's going to get, but you're so much better at having that ability, because if Jackson Holliday can be an everyday second baseman and you've got Westberg at third, or maybe they make when they take. Maybe they prefer one of those guys at third over second,
right,
with Urias and Mateo. But you're a better team having them come off the bench. Or if somebody, God forbid, knock on wood, somebody goes down for 2 to 4 weeks, having somebody you trust to come in and play for that short period of time, right, on an everyday basis. And I think both those guys fit that mold. I don't want them as everyday players.
No.
Because if you're having them as everyday players, then you start to see the holes in their at-bats. You start to see some of their weaknesses. And then you saw it, like, Ramon got hot last year. Every single time Ramon's feet were put to the fire, where it was like, no, we're going to have to, who are we cutting? Who are we letting go? And
right.
then Ramon starts hitting again. You're like, holy hell. So I think they're both good players, but I think that's the role they both should have.
Absolutely.
If they're on a good team, and they
are.
Good
team. I was glad when they signed Ramon. I mean, Felix in the offseason. You know what I mean? A lot of people are like, oh, man, I know you're not happy. Yes, I am. You misunderstand my evaluation of Jorge Mateo.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want him playing every day like many of you did. Why can't you put what was it? Put Gunnar at third, put Westberg at second, and have Jorge play shortstop. Remember, that was a solution to many people last year. No. That's not a solution.
Hey, when Jorge's going and he's hot, like, it's awesome, because you see a guy that's locked in and you're knowing, look, he's hitting for power at times, and if he gets it first, he's a single's a double's a triple. Yeah. He's going, and he's a hard guy to catch on the base pass.
I love that about him.
So there's so many good things there. But when you see him on an everyday basis, because when he's bad, he is really bad. And again, you're going to see guys pressing and all these things happening. So, and both of those guys, in my mind, should be bottom of the order hitters whenever they're in the lineup. So
yes.
I think, like, if you have
turn
him spelling
over.
Yeah, if you have him spelling Gunner. Now you're all of a sudden putting somebody else at the top of the lineup, and you're recreating what you want your lineup to be.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. I love the utility players on this team, because your utility players should be bad team starters.
Yeah. Well, look at our team. Like, just take our team during the rebuild and before that, when people were like, oh my God, I can't believe you're letting this guy go. Yeah, he only hits left-handed pitching. Oh my God, I can't, why aren't we keeping this guy? But remember when they released Renato Nunez, and he just hit 30 bombs?
Yeah.
The only team that took him was the Tigers on a minor league deal.
And he didn't last there either.
And why was it that he had those types of numbers? Because he was afforded the opportunity to play every day. But you're not going to get that from all these guys. And by the way, the balls were juiced that year too. That's one of the biggest kept secrets. Or worst kept secrets, I should say, that baseball's had, because everybody was hitting home runs. I think I hit four, and I didn't even get in at bat. So it was just crazy. So I just think that...
You turned on him?
Yeah. I was sitting on the fastball. But no, it's something to look at this roster and expect more. And it's weird hearing a lot of people that expect so much more in free agency than the people that expected so much more of keeping their own, because they tended to like those guys when the team was bad. And again, Mateo's, there's a reason why he's bounced around to a bunch of different teams. The one thing that he brings every single day is speed. If you can find a way to get to first base and then pinch run, I mean, I think that's one of the best things he can do.
410-583-1057. Let's go to Rick in Reisterstown. What's up, Rick?
Hey, great to talk to you guys. How are you guys doing today?
Oh my God,
where have you been?
Just busy working in the casino business, so getting up late at night.
Love it. It's good to hear from you, Rick.
It's been a long time. It's been years since I've heard from you, man. It's been so long, I was thinking, this is not that Rick from Reisterstown.
Can I tell you about the time that he won a prize when we were at the old station at like 6 in the morning, and then he was there 2 minutes after he won it?
Bob Haney flipped on me that day. I remember.
What's on your mind, man?
Yeah. You know, Rob, is the season too long? Is it too short? I know you do a lot of Orioles work, and can you? And another question is, can you bring Jeremy in on the possibly more into the Orioles system?
Yeah, Rob, can't you do that?
I appreciate you guys. Thank you. God,
Rick and Reiser sounds like our Bobo for Howard Stern. And hopefully some people get that. He's got his book of questions.
I knew it was coming. I didn't know what was coming, but I was very curious. Is it that Rick from Reiser's Town? That's number one.
Yes.
And number two, what the hell is he going to say today?
So if you guys, some of you guys may not remember, like, and Rick, I hope you do it still for some of the shows, calling and he does the call, like the Preakness call or the Kentucky Derby call. And he gives his prediction while he's doing it on the air. But yeah, one of the first callers, one of the first, what would you say? P1s is what we call them.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think like if you were going to talk about the baseball season, most people would tell you it's too long, but I'm fine with it. What about you?
No, I love it. I love it. I think it's perfect the way it is. I think there's some seasons that can be shortened in the NBA just because nobody wants to play every day. Shorten the season.
Cut off 2 weeks of this, or two weeks worth of games of the season and then space them out so they don't have back-to-back so these losers can play.
There you go. But I think baseball and the NFL find the way they are. The NFL's probably going to add another game. And I'm actually cool with that. But baseball, 162, that's what it should be. It should be 162.
Rick from Reisterstown.
I know. That's why I'm like, when I saw it up there, I'm like, I wanted to ask Joe, but I don't know if Joe would have understood what I meant when I said, is that the Rick from Reisterstown?
Yeah.
But, yeah. I've talked to him literally in probably 3 years.
Well, I said this job is so weird because, I mean, I went to a bunch of listeners' funerals. And I'm not saying that to be, like, dark, but you talk to these people so much throughout the week. Like, when I was working at the old station, I talked to Rick from Reisterstown more than I talked to my parents.
Uh-huh.
That's sad.
Yeah.
You know, like it's something because he would call in every day and we'd talk off the air and he'd ask some crazy ass question on the air. We'd make fun of him and then he'd laugh it off because he didn't care.
No, he does not care.
He just wanted to be on the air.
World of Stupid with Jeremy Kahn at 7:30. Don't go anywhere on the other side. We're sticking with baseball. Let's stick with baseball one more, Jeremy. Fangraphs breaks down to the AL East. Do you think it's another year where all five teams will finish above 500? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. 6:47 in the AM, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn, Ed Norris is on vacation this week. He'll be back next Tuesday. Fangraph seems, Joe, to love the AL East this year, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's going to be another season of 80-win teams. So they projected the Orioles and Yankees tying for first.
Right.
89 and 73 is what they projected. This is through Zips. But then the Red Sox come in at 84 and 78. Now, this is before the Bregman news, so that is probably should be updated. I don't know how that's going to impact how many wins they get. Tampa Bay is at 83 and 79, and Toronto is 82 and 80.
Do you only have the AL East? Do you have what they predict?
They're slowly going through each one.
Because for me, look, I've been doing this for a while, but I thought the Dodgers win total was one of the highest I've seen in years.
It's 103, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the over-under. 102 and a half is what I saw the other
day. Like, again, expecting them to probably win even more than that. Could they, you know, if they're that good and they have that much starting pitching, could they, you know, win more games than the Seattle Mariners team did all those years ago. But it's nice to finally see that some of these outlets are actually liking the Orioles roster. I mean, we just talked about Pecota likes them for the first time in years. But I do think this is going to be one of the toughest divisions in baseball.
Now,
and then the other one's the NL East.
Now, I just got the updated version. This is Fangraphs, right?
Yeah, Zips is what they use, yeah.
This is 3/13/25. This is right now. What I have is the Yankees 87.3 wins, the Red Sox 83.7 wins, and the Orioles 82.8 wins.
All right, yeah, they must have just changed that up then because this was Dan Zimborski. We've had him on before.
Is this what you're looking at?
This the name of the article is the 2025 Starter Spring Zips Projected Standings.
Is that Fangraphs?
Well, so he's...
There's two different. So Fangraphs has Fangraphs has their own projections.
Yeah, I got you.
That one was kind of. So they even say in that article you're looking at though, that those projections are somewhat flawed for the Orioles because they have so many players who are unproven that they take into account WAR more than anything else.
Here's what I believe, and maybe I'm wrong at this point, but
and even by this account on this Fangraphs, everybody in the East wins at least 81 games.
Well, Dan Zimborski, I think he does zips, but he also works for Fangraphs. He had written for ESPN. Zimborski's great mind. He's actually an Oriole fan too, which is kind of cool. But he's been waiting for this team to get good, and it's a guy we probably should grab and get on the show.
I've been trying. I've been efforting.
I can get him.
All right, text him up. Okay. I've done it before, and I've gotten green. There's just own green bubble.
We had him on every week. Yeah. For a while there when I was doing afternoons, and the relationship grew.
Hey, Joe.
Yo.
He just big time.
That's fine. Go ahead. Big time, man.
I just said, ask me to. I'm the only one that sat over in that chair.
I've been efforting.
That's true.
I could get him. He's been so.
You want to win? Put Booby in.
Oh, you just got Rob mad. Rob did sit in the chair.
When I first started my career, I was in the chair, man. I was filling in for you.
You weren't.
What you talking about?
You weren't running that board over there. Look at that board compared to that damn DJ equipment we ran from karaoke night. You know, that's what that's what that station was.
Don't
was
let facts get in the way of my anger right now, Jeremy.
You go. In that article, though, he writes that the Blue Jays team that finishes last in his Zips projections,
81 wins,
is one of the best last place teams he's ever projected.
And got 81 wins, man. This one does.
And I do think they finish last.
With 80-something wins.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to be... I'm not telling you they're a bad team, but...
They're just not the best. They're the worst team in the East.
So it's weird. If you look at the AL East and the NL East, like with the AL East, you don't think there's a bad team. In the NL East, you're like, I don't know what the Marlins are, but all those other teams are really effing good. Braves, Phillies. Well, I shouldn't say that. The Nats, too. But I think the Nats are going to take a huge step forward this year.
I think so, too. They were
so much
fun
young
to
talent.
Watch last
yep.
year.
So much young talent.
I remember playing them thinking, man, these guys just don't stop moving. It's just constantly moving.
Oh, they were one of those teams. The Red Sox, oh God, how much did I talk about this last year? The Red Sox, the Nats, and there was one other team that I'm blanking on now, were just stealing bases at a clip as a team that you couldn't possibly imagine. And when they faced pitchers that could not hold runners, like Corbin Burns, it was track meet on the bases if they were able to get the first.
It looked like, what was the movie when the guy was, the kid was a major league pitcher?
Oh, Rookie of the Year?
Rookie of the Year. Yeah. And then when he got on base, he started. Mm-hmm. That's how the Red Sox looked against the Orioles one year, one game. They looked just making fun of us. 410-583-1057 is the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. So, Jeremy, do you think everyone in the East finishes above 500, or at least at 500 this year?
I'll say no, because the likelihood of one finishing below it is probably, you know, if you're going to look at it mathematically, more likely to happen that somebody has a key injury somewhere and their team falls off. Maybe they make trades at the trade deadline because they realize they're not going anywhere. But again, for most of this season, I think you're going to have teams above 500.
This also has the Orioles at a 44.9% chance to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
The Yankees have the highest at 71.8, followed by the Rangers at 58.9.
Yeah, I guess we'll see. What did you think of Gerrit Cole last year? He's coming off of a Cy Young. And when you watched him last year, you were going, at times he didn't look like Gerrit Cole.
Didn't look dominant.
Yeah, that's the best word. He did not look dominant. Still really good, but I was seeing more guys get on base against him, more base hits against him, and more power.
It's funny you say that. Last year, remember, he had an injury plagued year. Mm-hmm. He only threw 95 innings. He gave up 78 hits. He had 99 strikeouts and 95 innings pitched. So even at he won a ton of games, though.
Yeah.
17 starts, he won 8 games.
It's pretty impressive.
Very impressive. At 34, I want to see if he's healthy this year. If he's healthy this year, I expect him to return to that Gerrit Cole form. But I saw some cracks in the armor a little bit last year at times.
But that's kind of what we're saying. So the Yankees paid him, and there was no signs of him falling, the fastball falling off.
He's not a free agent until 29.
But that's when we talked about Corbin Burns approaching 31, and then, you know, the injuries tend to go up. You start to break down a little bit more. Maybe you lose it on the fastball, and you've got to figure out a new way to pitch. I mean, that's what made Zach Greinke so special, is that he could get through a game with a 60-mile-an-hour fastball, you know?
And see, the tough thing about Cole, other than 2020, he hadn't had a year of fewer than 30 starts since 2016.
Yeah.
Take 2020 and throw that out. Even that year, he started 12 games out of 60.
Which is a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot.
He was on turn every – yeah.
He was projected to throw about – start about 33, 34 games that year if they play a full season. So last year, 17 starts, that's the fewest amount of starts of his entire career other than 2020.
Man, well, so it's going to be a fun year in the AL East. Like I said, the Red Sox made a bunch of moves that I think are very intriguing. And we haven't even talked about the wild card that is the Tampa Bay Rays. What if their pitching stays healthy for a full season? They've got some of the best pitching that we've seen, but everyone keeps getting hurt. Like, Shane McClanahan could be another Cy Young candidate for them, but he keeps getting hurt.
Yeah.
So,
hey, World of Stupid at 7:30. You ready for that, Jeremy?
Oh, yeah. There's something disgusting coming up.
But on the other side, Dan Graziano says $55 million a year for Brock Purdy. He goes from Mr. Irrelevant to $55 million a year. We're going to talk about it up next on The Fan.